back me to the my iPad, please? This year, our church theme is to pray continually. Prayers is something that anyone can do, but not everyone will pray. Prayer, we kind of know what prayer is, but yet, even for the most seasoned prayer, prayer is still a mystery. Some people ask, if God already knows what we want before we even pray it, why pray? Or some people ask, if God will only answer prayer that is in accordance to His will, then why pray? Why pray? To me, the strongest argument for praying is that throughout the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, all men and women in faith, they all pray. Abraham prayed. Moses prayed. The mother of Samuel, Hannah, prayed. King David prayed. Solomon, King Solomon, prayed. Prophet Elijah prayed. Jeremiah, Nehemiah, they are all men and women of great faith in prayer. When we come to the New Testament, Apostle Paul is the one who always called the church people to pray for him, for the church. Peter prayed. And above all, our Lord Jesus prayed. In the gospel, the disciples of Jesus did not ask Jesus to teach them how to preach or how to perform miracles or how to lead. But in the gospel, there is one incident that asked the disciples come to Jesus and ask, Lord, teach us how to pray. There must be something in Jesus' prayer life that draw attention to for his disciples. The disciples must say to one another, I want to pray just like my master prayed. So they come to Jesus and ask Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. In response, Jesus taught them a model prayer, which we are all very familiar. It is often called the Lord's Prayer. But in reality, this is not a prayer by our Lord. It is a prayer that our Lord modeled for his disciples. So it is probably better to call the Lord's Prayer to be the disciples' prayer. So let's read that together. Or for many of you, you can probably recite it together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Notice in this prayer, the first priority that the Lord modeled for us is for God's name, and God's name be exalted, and God's kingdom and his will be done on earth, and then followed by our needs. For our church this year, the theme is to pray continually, or pray without ceasing. It is based on the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians. But what does it mean to pray continually? It means that we pay attention to God, not just here and now in this century on Sunday, but in our daily lives, in whatever that we do, even for the rest of the week. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 3, Paul said, "I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayer." Timothy is always in the heart of Paul. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Paul said, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." If Jesus and Apostle Paul take prayer so seriously, how come we treat prayer so lightly? Let us start 2017 by sensing God's presence and heeding to his desires above all others, by praying more. Prayer is a discipline we can all learn and improve. There is no one who can say that I have graduated from the school of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And I hope in the next couple months, we can all learn through a series of sermons how to pray. Learn from the Bible. Learn from our Lord Jesus how to pray to our Heavenly Father. In today's text, many of us are very familiar this text, the story, is called the cleansing of the temple. This story is well known among Christians because this is one of the few stories that is all recorded in all four of the Gospels. You see, there are some stories in the Bible that is recorded by one or two Gospels. But the cleansing of the temple is a story that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. Yet what is very remarkable in today's story is the cleansing of the temple is sandwiched between the cursing of the fig tree. And this is unique in the Gospel of Mark. You see, folks, when the Bible author put stories side by side together, it means that we have to pay attention to the connectedness of the stories. And when the Bible author sandwiched the story together, it is even emphasizing that we pay special attention. In today's scripture, we see that Mark put the cursing of the fig tree and then the cleansing of the temple, and then go back to the fig tree, and then followed by lessons in prayer. So there's something from this today's scripture we can learn about prayer. First, I draw out the conclusion that prayer should bear fruit. The story began with the cursing of the fig tree. Some people object to the fact that why did Jesus curse a tree, which is so harmless, seems so environmentally unfriendly, especially when the Bible talk about the fig tree do not have fruit because it is not the season of the fig. It was not the season for figs. So why did Jesus curse such an innocent fig tree? But to this, we have to realize what Jesus did was an acting parable. Jesus is telling the disciples a parable, not in words, but in action. This is common in the Bible, the prophets. For example, in Jeremiah, God told the prophet Jeremiah to buy a linen belt, wear it around his waist, and then hide this linen belt under a rock. And then after a few months, go look for the linen belt, becomes all rotten. And then God said, this is how my people Israel, who disobey me, will become as useless and totally rotten like this linen belt. So this fig tree is used by our Lord Jesus to teach a lesson. Jesus' disappointment with the fig tree is like his disappointment with Israel and the temple worship. His judgment pronounced upon the tree is like the threat of God's judgment soon to fall upon the temple in Jerusalem. You see, for a fig tree, the life cycle is that Early spring, green figs appears on the tree, and that is followed by a lot of leaves grown on the tree. So for a tree, a fig tree, to have a lot of leaves, it should suggest that this tree would have a lot of green figs. But when Jesus come to look for figs in this tree that is full of leaves, he find that the tree only have the appearance of leaves, but in reality, no fruit. The tree of this fig tree is deceptive, give a deceptive view that it is should be full of fruit. Similarly, when Jesus come to the temple, he saw the temple was a magnificent figure, a building. The temple was full of people, but many, many, too many of the people are just practicing empty religious rituals. They have their reality was hollow and empty. What is happening in the temple was not true worshiping of God, but instead, people have turned the house of prayer into a den of robbers. The temple in Jesus' time was built by King Herod. It was a magnificent building. King Herod was a very smart architect. He built a very magnificent church building, temple at the time. But it is a shrine with the empty appearance. Inside this temple, worshiping God was just a transaction, buying and selling. The place of worship became a shortcut for people. People were using the temple court as a shortcut to carry their merchandise. Instead of when Jesus cleansed the temple, the people responded. Instead of repentance, they were planning to kill Jesus. Jesus cursed the fig tree to remind us that if we only have the appearance of worshiping God, but no reality in our spiritual heart to be close to God, we will be judged just like the fig tree. Before we condemn these religious leaders, the question is, how about us? We all come to church today. We worship. What kind of heart, what kind of worship do we bring to our Lord? If Jesus come and examine our lives, would he find any fruit in us? As we look back in previous years, how many people we have led to Christ. When we examine our spiritual life, does our life exhibit the spiritual fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Prayer should bear fruit. But how can fruit come? Fruit comes from abiding in Christ. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." In order to bear fruit, we must abide with our Lord Jesus. Fruitlessness is a result of our prayerlessness. Let us stay close with our Lord Jesus. Let us be changed in year 2017. Second, effective prayer requires faith. In response to Peter's amazement of the withered fig tree, Jesus answered, taught about the need for faith and forgiveness in prayer. Jesus taught that faith will enable us to accomplish great works and overcome difficulties. In his analogy of telling mountains to grow, to throw the mountain into the sea, Jesus is teaching effective prayer requires great faith. Jesus is not referring to faith that tries to obtain things for one's own benefit, or faith that seeks to do stunts for the sheer excitement of it. Jesus is encouraging disciples to have great faith in the ministry of God. At the heart of prayer is about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. At church, often we have the lowest attendance in prayer meeting. Perhaps many of us think it does not matter. Our prayer does not make a difference. We can pray about ministry of God, but it does not make a difference. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to repent of this. We need to have faith that faith, prayer, change things. Do you want to see the salvation of your family members, your friends, your classmates? Then pray. Pray with great faith. Do you want victory over your sinful habits, things that you have tried to change for a long time? Then pray. Pray realizing that God will give you, strengthen, equip you with supernatural power to overcome these sinful habits. Do you want to know God in deeper level? Pray for this desire. Do you want peace and love in your community? Spiritual renewal in our church. Then pray. God, our Heavenly Father, is waiting for His people to pray with great faith. All these that I mentioned, I suggest before, are all in accordance with God's will. God desires these things be fulfilled, but only through prayers with great faith. In the 1970s, when Russia was locked tight in the grip of communism, Cold War with the West, a representative was sent from the West on behalf of the National Council of Churches in the West to survey the condition of the Russian church. When the representative came back, he reported that the church in Russia is useless and pathetic. It's just a bunch of little old ladies praying. That's all. All is happening in the Russian church is a bunch of old ladies praying. Yet in about 20 years later, the mountain of communism in USSR was totally torn apart. In Charles Cozen's book, The Body, he recounted the church and the prayer of Christians was a major factor in this change in the Eastern Europe history. Jesus told his disciples, "If in great faith you say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." So, brothers and sisters, pray. Pray in great faith. Saying that we thought that it is impossible will be achieved by prayer. Thirdly, Jesus taught, effective prayer requires forgiveness. No prayer can be heard which do not come from a forgiving heart. Jesus said, "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Our prayer must not only be on earnest, sincere, and in the name of Jesus Christ. It must also come from a forgiving heart. We have no right to look for mercy if we are not ready to extend mercy to people who offended us. This is a soul-searching teaching by Jesus to all of us. We all have different backgrounds, social status, but all of us can forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Yet how often we forgive people who offended us. Sadly, in today's church, there are much malice bitterness and division among one another. And no wonder many prayers are not heard. Today, God is speaking to you today. If you feel your spiritual life is stagnant, your prayer has not been answered, examine whether there is someone that you have not forgiven. And then pray that God will give you the grace and the strength to forgive. Let us pray. Lord, you have set us examples, models, and commands for us to pray. So help us at the beginning of this year to learn how to pray in ways that is in your accordance to your heart, to advance your kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to desire for you more than any others. Help us in this coming year, a great renewal in our prayer life. For we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name.